Others have already left. Some are choosing to stay. It sounds like a current event story about the church, especially this week, and it could very well be. But I've also described chapter 6 of St. John's Gospel. 3 weeks ago, people came to Jesus, and the Lord questions their motives because they were looking for him to get another free lunch instead of food that endures for eternal life. Last weekend, folks were murmuring, complaining about Jesus because he said that he was bread come down from heaven, and that can't be. They know that he came from Nazareth. Today, the crowd is arguing among themselves. It's impossible. How could he give his flesh to eat? And then next weekend, the disciples of Jesus tell him that what he says is hard to accept. Many choose to no longer follow him. Some decide to stay. We're living through a traumatic chapter in church history. Debauchery, decadent immorality, is the word St. Paul uses in his letter to the Ephesians. Members of the church, especially clergy, have not watched carefully how we live. Now, while there is a temptation to divide people into good and bad, it's important for us also to remember what St. Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth. He reminded them that we are members of one body with many parts, some noble, others less so, some parts strong, other parts weak. He goes on to say that when one of us suffers, we all suffer. When one of us is honored, is lifted up, all share its joy. When one is shamed, we all feel shame. The suffering of victims has been brutal, often unnoticed, even denied. Behavior has been degrading, foolish, criminal. And so the need for healing and purification is intense. The desire for renewal and accountability is strong. The quarreling crowd, they thought it was impossible for Jesus to give himself as food and drink, flesh and blood. How can it be done? And for many within the church as well as outside the church, it's fairly reasonable to think that it's impossible to adequately cope with, live through, and deal with this moment in our lives as Catholic Christians. How do we make the most out of this experience? How can we give thanks to God always and in everything, as St. Paul asks? We're here, you're here, because we've accepted the invitation to enter wisdom's house and to share in the feast. Advancing in our understanding about sexual abuse, its damaging effects, how to prevent it, and how to address it requires honesty, humility, justice. Righteous anger without arrogant self-righteousness has the power and potential to lead to authentic reform. St. Bernard of Clairvaux during the 12th century and St. Catherine of Siena during the 14th century spoke and wrote with biting honesty about the need for reform within the church, especially among clergy. Both had a deep love for the church, and both remained. But Bernard called for conversion, and while he called for conversion, he also spoke of hope. This is what he preached once. For it is when we are utterly humbled by weakness that we are most likely to experience the grace of God's mercy. And in fact, just as a medical doctor needs our sickness in order to heal us of our distress, God's mercy, in some sense, actually needs our misery. St. Bernard spoke about the behavior of clergy as being shameless acts, selfish crimes, and a deadly virus. But he still gives reason for hope. During this time of misery, we turn to the Lord Jesus. We cannot underestimate what God can accomplish, especially with the wisdom of God's holy people. Jesus, who came down from heaven, continues to remain with his church. He weeps with shame, but he also embraces with saving and transforming grace. True food and true drink, the body and blood of Christ, are the refreshing feast of eternal life. In spite of this week, even during this week, it is still possible for us to taste and see the goodness of the Lord.